I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want.
You want to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card?
Kids today, they really have it rough.
I have no idea where we are or where we're going.
I mean, when I was their age, life was easy. Super easy.
Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet?
Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost.
Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night. I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework.
You don't have to pass all your classes.
What? You have a project due tomorrow, and you've known about it for 4 weeks, and you haven't started yet? Sweet!
Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet?
Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me?
Hey! Hey, can you please turn that music up?
Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again. I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life.
Yes, more homework to correct.
All right, whining.
Yay, tantrums.
Vomit.
We just really need to spoil these kids more.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all.
You're 16. You pretty much know everything now.
I think 18's a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours?
Thanks.
Whoa! Money really does grow on trees.
This begs the question, what is the difference between a godly father and a worldly father? And we're going to look at what makes them different this morning. On your bulletin, there's just one big blank. And I would like to say that was intentional, but I didn't get the words to Stephanie in time. But it's blank. And it's a good thing it's blank because I have a ton of scriptures today. We're going to go through them. Don't copy down. Don't try to write all the scriptures down, but the references if you want. And if you need them, I'll give them to you afterwards. But what is the difference between a godly father and a worldly father? Number one, a godly father disciplines with wisdom. Worldly fathers do discipline, but often they miss the mark. Some get carried away with punishment and they become too cruel. Others swing the pendulum the other way. I don't want to break their spirit. Or they say, I don't want them to resent me. Peace is so much easier when I give in. Even fathers who are firm miss the mark. Children learn their lessons just the same. But the difference between a godly father and a worldly father is that godly fathers teach their children one lesson that worldly fathers don't teach them. The most important lesson of all. They can learn it from other places, but father is the best place. So what is that lesson? That lesson is to fear the Lord. There are many benefits to this lesson in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of the Lord leads us away from evil. In Psalm 34:9, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Psalm 115:13. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. Psalm 128:1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. It is the objective of every father to teach their child how to fear the Lord. That's imperative. All these scriptures show a blessing, show a promise from God that when we fear the Lord, when we give him the respect that's due him, good things happen. We lack nothing. We are blessed by God. So how is this done? How does a father teach his child to fear the Lord? Notice what the Bible says. It is through discipline. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Is that true? Can that be true? Absolutely. What happens to a field if you leave it alone? If you never till it, you never plant it, what happens? The weeds grow. All kinds of things grow in it that you really don't like. And it's not that fruitful. There could be some things in there that's worth picking, but it's not that productive. It's not that fruitful. But a field needs to be tilled. It needs to be fertilized. I'm speaking to a bunch of farmers. You know better than I do that the fields just don't get those rows by themselves. It doesn't happen automatically that we have a huge harvest. 30, 60, 100 fold. It's not automatic. It requires effort to make our fields to produce crop. And what's true with our fields is also true of our children. They're not going to automatically fear the Lord. They're not going to automatically follow God and do what is right. You don't have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach him to be good. And there's a reason for that. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. And that's nothing defective about your child. That's true with every single child that is born. The difference is, do they have fathers that will discipline them? Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Wisdom is the ability to make right decisions, the ability to have good judgments. It's amazing that the rod of correction helps children make wise decisions, because that tells us that the decisions that children have to make are usually the choice that is the easiest, that is the most comfortable, usually is not the right choice. That's why we discipline our kids. To teach them that the easy way, the shortcut, is not always the best way. It's easier to lie than to face the truth, but it's better to tell the truth. That's why we teach our children not to lie. Yes, it's easier to get out of trouble, get out of hardship, but it's not good. The rod of discipline imparts wisdom. It helps children develop a sense of doing what they know is right when they don't feel like it. Proverbs 23:14-50. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. This indicates that punishment is to be done with wisdom. And the result of punishment should be a healthy fear of the Lord. How do we get from dad's punishment to the healthy fear of the Lord? I think Proverbs 12:9 says, moreover, we have all had human fathers who have disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more so should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Notice the comparison between earthly and heavenly fathers. Our fathers have a special relationship with their children. And here's the thing, and don't miss this, that our fathers, they, in a lot of ways, represent God to our children. Now, I'm not saying that fathers are gods, but they represent God in their children's lives. A child who learns to obey his father will find it a lot easier to obey God. A child that is always rebellious, that always is allowed to get his own way, is going to find it much, much more difficult to submit to the Lord God. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Yes, child abuse is when it's taken a little too far, when punishment is not done out of wisdom, it's done out of anger. And that's a huge mistake, fathers. If you're really angry, cool off before you incur punishment. And that's good for two reasons. It's good so that you punishment with wisdom, but also it makes them suffer even more because they have to wait. But it's good to discipline out of wisdom, not out of anger. But it is child abuse to go too far, to break bones. I think that's a little excessive. But from this passage, it is also child abuse when a father does nothing. It is child abuse when he does not discipline his child. When a child grows up and thinks the whole world is handed to him, the child grows up and thinks, "I'll just do what's easy for me." And they get out into the world and the world is going to eat their lunch. And that child, that father has done nothing to prepare that child to face the world. You know, we frown on those fathers that get carried away. But we should also frown on those fathers that do nothing. Let's all just get along. When a father disciplines with wisdom, children learn to fear the Lord. That's the point. Number two, godly fathers teach by example. Worldly fathers teach by example, but there's a difference in, and the difference is that godly fathers do it intentionally. And what I mean by that is that the worldly fathers usually just say, "Do what I say and not what I do." And a worldly father in the back of his mind is thinking, "Well, I've just taught my child what to do." But you know what? He's taught his child a whole lot more. He's taught his child how to be hypocritical. He's taught his child how to not mean what he says. But a godly father, they live a consistent life. Hebrews, oh, wait a minute. Nope, I'm not there. Ephesians 6:4. Well, we'll just go there. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. How do children get exasperated? They get exasperated when fathers do not live consistent lives. Children get exasperated when they don't know how to win. They don't know where that line is. That line is different from day to day. One day they get in trouble for something, and the next day they don't, and the next day they do, and they don't know what's right and what's wrong. Is it just a matter of what mood my father is in on whether I get in trouble or not? No. May it never be. Godly fathers lead by example. They teach by example. Teaching by example builds healthy relationships. It produces trust, respect. It's easier to learn and grow in that environment. It makes lessons acceptable and believable. The power of example should never be underestimated. You can tell your child all you want to tell them, but unless they see it in your life, they're really not going to believe it. My daughter Sarah got a lot of grief at the school. When she was in high school, they had this program to try to tell the kids it's good not to drink alcohol. And will you sign this contract that says no alcohol? And Sarah made the comment that if it's not good for students, it's probably not good for faculty and staff either. And, we got a phone call. That was not appropriate. You know, fathers, godly fathers don't do that. If I'm going to tell my son not to drink alcohol, then I'm not going to drink alcohol. I'm not going to ever be the father that says, do what I say, but not what I do. I haven't done that, have I? Well, okay. I don't drink alcohol. When have you ever seen me drink alcohol?
I've never seen you drink alcohol.
Don't you remember what I just said? A godly father disciplines. I'll be talking to you when we get home. No, godly fathers are the example. When we look at 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We love because he's the one that showed us what love is. He showed us how to live our lives. He's the example to us. You know, I believe without godly fathers, it is difficult. Not impossible, because not all of us have godly fathers. But it's even more difficult to understand God's love without godly fathers. I like what Matthew 7:11 says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Our fathers on earth are a glimpse of what our Father in heaven is. The good that our fathers do for us, that's just a glimpse of the joy that we have with our Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, it didn't matter what was going on. I had a ball game. It didn't matter if I was in the game or if I was sitting on the bench. And I don't mean to criticize any mother out there, but I tell you what, the ball game was just better when I'd look over and see my dad in the stands. Now, Mom, I didn't care if she was there or not. I don't think she understood the game. I don't think she paid attention. But there was something special to have my dad at the game watching. And I tell you what, there's a few times where he let me have it when, you know, evidently my dad gets embarrassed when I put bubble gum on people's hats at the ball game and laugh. I mean, he didn't like that so much. I get in trouble. But I still wanted him there. He was still the example of what was honest, what was good. And I don't know about you, but it kind of motivates me to be good, to be better than I am. When a father teaches by example, his children learn to love the Lord. We have a clear understanding of what love is. Number three, a godly father protects his family. Worldly fathers also protect their family. The difference is between a worldly father and a godly father is what they are protecting their family from. You see, worldly fathers protect their families from all kinds of danger, evil people, natural disaster, sickness, stupid behavior, every possible danger but one. Jesus talks about that possible danger in Matthew 24, 43 and 44. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Now, worldly fathers protect their family from thieves, but not the thief. The one thief that can rob people of what is most important to them, and that one thief is Satan, robbing people of their relationship with God. You see, that thief wants to come in and get in the middle of our relationship with God. That thief wants to come in and teach our children not to care about what God thinks, not to care about what the Bible thinks. It's too boring, it's too long, and that's the thief. And a godly father protects his family from that thief. Jesus spoke about the thief in John 10:10. The thief comes only to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it to the full. The thief will do anything to rob people of their relationship with God. And of all the things that fathers do, this is probably the most daunting. It's a terrible, terrible predicament to be in, to be a parent who knows the Lord God and have a child who doesn't. I can't think of a greater nightmare. The thief can come from anywhere and take any form. He only has one mission: rob of the relationship of God. That's why 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A godly father understands that Satan is after his kids. And he understands that the thief is a great danger. He protects his family by teaching them to build a relationship with God. It involves identifying where God is and following him. It involves how to stay paying attention in the middle of distractions, teaching children to make faithful choices. When godly fathers, and I don't know the grammar on this, godly fathers protects his family or protect, you get the point. When a godly father protects his family, children learn to serve the Lord. This is what happens. Children learn to serve the Lord. This entire message was taken from Joshua 24:14. Now the fear of the Lord, and now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers and worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. He's talking to a nation here, but I believe he's also talking to every father. We fear, we love, we serve. That's what godly fathers do. So when we wish our father a happy Father's Day, the fathers that are believers, this is the difference. And maybe your father is not a believer. Honor him anyway by being the child that these fathers are meant to be. I don't know who said this. It's an unknown quote. Live so that your son, when people tell him that he reminds them of you, will stick out his chest and not his tongue. Be the fathers that God intended for you to be. Be the children that honor their fathers, because he intends you to be that as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you for our fathers that you've given us. I thank you for the joy that they bring us, for the discipline, even though it wasn't so pleasant. I thank you for the way that we have been molded and shaped into the people that we are. Lord, help us to honor them as we honor you. Lord, it is no mistake that we call you our Father in heaven. It is no mistake that you have given us all these examples of how we are to live our lives. Lord, we fall short every day, but help us when we fall down to get right back up. Help us to honor you and help us to be a people after your own heart. Lord, teach each one of us to turn our eyes toward you and nowhere else. In Jesus' name we pray.